opening narration.
The Khatra Foundation presents the Khatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Khatra AI.
Introduction.
So when you picture Abraham Lincoln, what instantly comes to mind? Is it that solemn, almost marble figure, the great emancipator?
That's the one. Or maybe the wartime leader, you know, looking out over a divided nation. It's a powerful image, deeply ingrained.
It really is. But what if that picture, while maybe true in spirit, kind of misses something? A more complex, maybe more surprising, and definitely more human truth about how he actually led.
Exactly. And that's where David Herbert Donald's Pulitzer Prize-winning biography, simply titled Lincoln, comes in. It's a landmark book.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Today, we're diving deep into Lincoln, but maybe not the Lincoln you think you know. We're exploring Donald's take, this massive reevaluation of the man, his genius, and how he navigated everything.
And Donald himself is key here. He wasn't just a historian. He was, well, arguably the authority on Lincoln in the Civil War era, a giant in the field.
Right.
He spent his life trying to, you know, separate the man from the myth, pushing back against that tendency to make Lincoln into some kind of perfect saint.
Bad geography.
Precisely. This book isn't just a story. It's what they call realist history. It digs into the messy reality of politics, human motivation, how events shape even the greatest figures. He used everything, letters, legal docs, private papers.
So our mission today,
right,
to figure out how this seemingly quite ordinary, sometimes very cautious politician became the transformative president.
Yeah. What does his journey tell us about leadership? About being adaptable when things are falling apart? And how much do circumstances just take over?
And what can you, listening now, what do you learn from a Lincoln who seems more human, more pragmatic than the legend?
Well, the core idea Donald puts forward, and it's really striking, is that Lincoln wasn't some kind of revolutionary, was a master plan locked in from day one.
No.
No. Instead, Donald says his real strength was something he calls negative capability.
Negative capability. Okay, what's that?
It's this capacity not to force events, but to skillfully respond to them, to wait, to listen, to let things develop before making a decisive move.
Huh. That really pushes against the modern idea of a leader always being out front, driving everything.
It does, and it raises a huge question. What does it mean for a leader to be, in some ways, controlled by events, yet still be considered truly great?
A chronological journey.
That's a fascinating angle. So how did he actually do that? How did he balance being reactive with achieving so much? Let's trace it back, like Donald does, his early life. Pretty rough, right?
Oh, incredibly rough. Donald paints this really stark picture. Backwoods Kentucky, then Indiana. Poverty, hard physical labor.
And very little school.
Barely a year of formal schooling in total. But this intense drive for self-improvement, walking miles for books, reading by firelight, just soaking up knowledge any way he could. It wasn't just ambition for power. It was like an escape, a need to understand.
And this tough start really shaped his politics, didn't it? He became a Whig.
A very loyal Whig, yes. A huge admirer of Henry Clay. And that Whig identity gave him his core principles. Belief in a strong central government for economic progress, think canals, railroad social order, and this deep, almost sacred respect for the Constitution and the rule of law.
So initially quite conservative, methodical.
Absolutely. Very legalistic in his thinking. He wasn't a born radical. He believed in moderation, established processes, keeping that fragile union balanced.
Which makes his later actions even more striking.
Indeed. And that commitment to order, to the union, that's exactly what explains the big turning point that pulled him back into the political fight after he'd stepped back a bit.
You mean the Kansas-Nebraska Act, 1854.
Exactly. Championed by his rival, Stephen Douglas. It basically said settlers in new territories could decide for themselves about slavery, which blew up the old Missouri Compromise that had limited its spread for decades.
And Lincoln saw this as...
as a disaster. Donald shows it wasn't just that Lincoln found slavery morally wrong, though he did.
Hmm.
More deeply, it violated his Whig belief in compromise, in sticking to the law, in maintaining order. It felt like Douglas was ripping the country apart.
So it wasn't like he suddenly became an abolitionist overnight.
No, not according to Donald. It was more like it reawakened his conviction that the founders had intended slavery to be contained, to eventually die out, ultimate extinction, was the phrase. Kansas, Nebraska looked like it could make slavery permanent, spread it everywhere.
Undermining the whole foundation.
Precisely. So his return to politics was fundamentally about saving the Union, keeping it true to what he saw as its founding principles. Containing slavery was crucial for that.
Okay, fast forward. He He wins the presidency and the crisis explodes. How does Donald describe those early days in the White House?
Overwhelmed is a good word. Donald portrays him for quite a while as mostly reacting, trying to hold things together as states seceded.
And that famous team of rivals cabinet didn't make things easier, I imagine.
Huh. Definitely not. Seward, Chase, Stanton. Powerful men, huge egos. Many thought they should have been president. Donald details that amazing story about Seward basically offering to take over because he thought Lincoln wasn't up to it.
Wow. And Lincoln's response?
Quiet strength. No big confrontation. Just a firm diplomatic letter putting Seward gently but firmly back in his place. Classic Lincoln, using finesse, harnessing talent even when it came with sharp elbows.
He also struggled with his generals early on, right? McClellan.
Oh, endlessly frustrated with McClellan. The man just wouldn't move, wouldn't fight aggressively. Lincoln was desperate for action.
Which brings us to the Emancipation Proclamation. Donald's take really challenges the popular story, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. He meticulously argues it wasn't some sudden bolt of moral lightning.
That a calculated move.
Calculated, strategic, and fundamentally a war measure. Necessary to win. He waited, timed it carefully after the Union victory, such as it was in Antietam in late 1862. Needed to give it military and political weight.
That famous quote to Horace Greeley really underscores that, doesn't it? My paramount object is to save the Union.
Exactly. And is not either to save or to destroy slavery. Donald uses that to show Lincoln's laser focus. If freeing slaves helped save the Union, he'd do it. If keeping slavery helped save the Union, which became impossible, he might have considered it early on. The Union was the absolute priority.
So even the great emancipator was driven by pragmatism first. That's quite a reframing.
It is. It shows his moral compass was there, deeply held, but his actions as president were always filtered through the lens of what's achievable, what saves the nation.
And this pragmatic evolution continued.
Yes, especially after the big turning points in the summer of 1863, Gettysburg and Vicksburg. Huge morale boosts for the Union.
And then came the Gettysburg Address.
Right. Donald analyzes it brilliantly. Not just the speech, but a profound reframing of the war's whole purpose. Moving from just preserve the old Union to creating a new birth of freedom. Tying the whole struggle back to the Declaration of Independence to equality. Masterful.
And he finally found a general who would fight. Grant.
Yes, Ulysses S. Grant. Finally, a general who understood the brutal math of the war and was willing to do what was necessary. That partnership was absolutely vital.
And then near the end, the second inaugural address.
The capstone, really. Donald presents it as the peak of Lincoln's moral and political thinking, delivered just weeks before he was killed. That call for a compassionate peace, with malice toward none, with charity for all. Just incredible.
It makes you wonder, though, how did this cautious, legalistic guy arrive at such a radical, merciful vision after such a brutal war?
That's the journey Donald traces. The sheer pressure of the war, the immense suffering, it transformed him. He grew into the role, evolving from a compromiser focused on containment to a leader with a vision for abolition and true national healing.
Core philosophy and values.
It's an incredible arc. But was it smooth? Did Donald find evidence of, you know, internal struggle? Especially around something as huge as emancipation, given his legal background.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great point. Donald shows Lincoln definitely wrestled with it. The constitutional questions, the fear of overstepping presidential power that weighed on him. His legal mind really grappled with intervening so directly in state matters, even rebellious ones.
So what tipped the balance?
The brutal reality of the war, the mounting deaths, the realization that the Union simply couldn't be saved with slavery intact, the sheer necessity of it slowly pushed him past those legalistic hesitations. It wasn't cold calculation, but a pragmatic evolution driven by his core value, saving the Union. Sometimes preserving the whole meant taking extraordinary steps.
That adds such a layer of humanity. Okay, so boiling it down, what are the core philosophies or values Donald highlights in Lincoln? That pragmatism seems central.
Definitely. Pragmatism over ideology is probably theme number one. He was a master of the art of the possible. The Union first, always. Every decision, even emancipation, was measured against that goal.
Yeah.
Will this help save the nation?
He couldn't let perfect be the enemy of the good, essentially.
Exactly. Another core element was his mastery of language and public opinion.
We talked about Gettysburg, the second inaugural.
Right. But Donald shows this was consistent. From the Cooper Union speech that really launched him nationally, he used words so precisely. To persuade, yes, but also to educate, to shape how people understood the stakes. He knew he couldn't get too far ahead of public sentiment. He had to bring people along, build consensus.
Using stories, humor?
Yes, connecting with ordinary people, making complex ideas feel understandable and morally clear. A master communicator.
Three pivotal turning points.
Thinking about his life, his presidency, Donald must highlight some key moments that really shifted things, right? Pivotal turning points.
Oh, absolutely. You can pick several, but three really stand out in Donald's analysis as transformative.
Okay, what's the first?
The first has to be the Kansas-Nebraska Act of 1854. We touched on it, but its impact was profound. Lincoln had stepped back from intense politics, focusing on his law practice. This act, allowing slavery's potential expansion, just jolted him.
It offended his moral sense, but more so his political principles.
Yes, his Whig sense of order, compromise, and his belief in the founders' intent to limit slavery. It violated everything he thought kept the Union stable. It forced him back onto the national stage, redefined his political purpose around opposing slavery's expansion, and set him on the path to the presidency. It was the catalyst.
Okay, so that's number one. What's next?
The second, I'd argue, based on Donald's work, is the decision to issue the Emancipation Proclamation. Specifically timing it after Antietam in late 1862.
Because it marked that shift from Union preservation to something bigger and showed his pragmatism.
Exactly. It was a huge gamble. He worried about the border states, about Northern Democrats, about the constitutionality. But the war was going badly, morale was low, and he realized freeing slaves wasn't just morally right in the abstract, it was becoming a military and political necessity. It changed the fundamental nature of the war, gave it a moral cause recognized internationally, and unleashed the power of black soldiers joining the fight. A massive, transformative step, born of hard-nosed realism as much as idealism.
Wow. Okay, Kansas-Nebraska emancipation.
Right.
What's a third pivotal moment?
The third, I think, is the period encompassing Gettysburg, Vicksburg, and the appointment of Grant as General-in-Chief in early 1864.
A cluster of events, really.
Right. Gettysburg and Vicksburg, July 1863, were the military turning points the Union desperately needed. They proved the Confederacy could be beaten. This shifted the momentum and allowed Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address shortly after to articulate that higher purpose for the war, the new birth of freedom. Then, finding Grant, who would fight and understood the grim reality of what it would take to win, finally gave Lincoln the military leadership he needed to see it through. This combination, military success, redefined purpose, and effective command solidified the path to Union victory, however bloody it would be. It marked the shift from desperate survival to a determined drive towards ending the war on Union terms.
Human lessons and reflection.
Those moments really highlight his evolution. Mm-hmm. Think about Lincoln the man, not just the president. Donald talks about his struggles with depression, right? His melancholy.
Yes, quite extensively. And he doesn't portray it as a weakness, but almost as a source of strength, strangely enough.
How so?
Donald suggests this lifelong inner sadness contributed to his profound empathy, his patience, his ability to connect with the suffering of others, because he knew suffering himself. Think about losing his son, Willie, right there in the White House during the war's darkest days. Yet he carried on.
That ability to maintain his humanity, his compassion, even humor, amid that level of personal and national tragedy, it's hard to comprehend.
It really is. And it teaches us something profound about resilience, doesn't it? That true strength isn't about being untouched by hardship, but about enduring it, learning from it, and retaining your core humanity. His vision of malice toward none at the end, that came from a place of deep understanding of pain and the need for healing.
And his management of those difficult personalities, the team of rivals. Mm. What's the lesson there?
It's a masterclass, really. Hmm. Seward, Stanton, Chase, these were brilliant, ambitious, often prickly men. Lincoln didn't demand loyalty oaths. He valued their talent, their different perspectives, even when they criticized him.
He could handle dissent.
He could handle it, manage it, and harness their strengths for the common goal. It speaks volumes about his own self-confidence and his focus on the mission over personal ego. It's a lesson for any leader. Surround yourself with the best, even if they challenge you. Diverse views often lead to better decisions.
Three final takeaways.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Donald's Lincoln, let's try to crystallize some key takeaways for everyone listening. What's the most powerful emotional insight we get from his life?
I think it's the profound resilience forged through suffering. His lifelong melancholy, the immense personal losses, the weight of the war, it didn't break him. Instead, it seemed to deepen his empathy and his capacity for forgiveness, culminating in that vision of malice toward none. It shows that enduring hardship can cultivate extraordinary compassion.
That's powerful. Okay, what about the most important intellectual insight from Donald's work on Lincoln's leadership?
That would be the primacy of pragmatic adaptability over rigid ideology. Lincoln's greatness wasn't rooted in a fixed blueprint, but in his incredible ability to learn, evolve, and respond effectively to changing circumstances, his negative capability. He prioritized the ultimate goal, saving the Union, and was willing to adjust his methods, even on monumental issues like slavery, to achieve it. True leadership involves knowing when to bend, when to wait, and when to act decisively based on reality, not just theory.
Adaptability as a core strength. Got it. And finally, a universal life lesson, something anyone can apply.
I think it's the importance of maintaining humanity and humility in crisis. Despite the immense power he wielded and the terrible costs of the war, Lincoln retained his humility, his empathy, even his humor. He never lost sight of the human cost. That ability to lead through the darkest times without losing your fundamental decency or perspective is a vital lesson for navigating any challenge, big or small. True strength includes compassion.
Closing narration.
Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acontra Foundation.